The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to Dorf on Sports right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. And I'll tell you what, man, UFC is kind of on my mind as I was at an event here in Phoenix, Arizona last night. And then I hear, as I'm watching what I'm watching, Brock Lesnar's coming back for a return for UFC 200. Diaz and McGregor rematch to headline for UFC 202. Muhammad Ali passing away this week. I just felt like I had to kind of get out there in the fight game, to be honest with you, Jeff. And I liked what I saw last night. It was a lot of fun Saturday night in Phoenix, Arizona. And these guys are on their way to maybe being in that octagon at some point in their lives. And I'll tell you what, it was impressive to say the least, Jeff.
UFC seems like it's on its way back up. Certainly from my perspective, where I see Miocic doing the victory lap around Cleveland, spending time with the Indians, the Browns, the Cavaliers as they prepare for the finals. But I don't think that there's a bigger story this week than the passing of the legend, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, we're going to have to get into that. I mean, the greatest of all time, to be honest with you, man. And a guy who stood for something and stood up for what he believed in. And I've got no problem with that at all, but we got to take a quick pause for the cause. He's Jeff Rich. I am the Dorf Man. It is Dorf on Sports, and you're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
You can't take a 700 horsepower Indy car out on the road, but you can take the tires. The new Firehawk high-performance tires from Firestone are built with racing-inspired technology and have better wet and dry handling than ever before. Now the only thing missing is a pit crew.
Hi, Dad.
Well, that's a start. Find your perfect Firehawk performance tire at your local Firestone retailer. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
You think buckling up is a personal choice? That it doesn't hurt anyone else? You would be wrong. Your choice could shatter the lives of your family, friends, and everyone you know. That's why we enforce seatbelt laws, to save lives. Think about that every time you drive. Buckling up isn't just a good idea, it's a choice between surviving a crash or not. Make sure you and everyone in the vehicle buckles up every time. Click it or ticket. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 6/10 of a second remaining.
Everyone's watching to see what you will do. Everyone's looking at you.
All right, everybody. That is right. Everybody is watching. Everybody is looking at Steph Curry. We're also looking at LeBron James, to be honest with you. And I hate to say it, but I kind of agree with Jerry West, man. The criticism on a guy that gets to six straight NBA finals, and then you know, all people want to say is, well, his record's 2-4. The dude gets there every freaking year, man. I think there's something pretty special about that, Jeff, to be honest with you. And look, I love greatness, and the truth is LeBron James is the definition of greatness. He makes everybody else around him better. And to be quite honest, six straight is flat out ridiculous.
He makes his opponents better, too. I think that San Antonio stepped it up a notch in 2013. They very nearly, you know, San Antonio very nearly went back to back over a very good Heat team. Probably legendary Heat team, in fact, if you go to his last few years down there in Miami. And I think that he forces guys like Steve Kerr to be better. I think that these Warriors-Cavaliers games, even though some of them have been extremely lopsided in the Warriors' favor, I think these games are fascinating just because they're so different. And, you know, sometimes ugly, you know, sometimes solid play is determined, you know, is interpreted as ugly, and I don't think that that's the case. You said it was an ugly game in the first half when we were going back and forth on Facebook during game one, but I really think that the Warriors getting all ball, or maybe the officials missing the calls, I don't know for sure, but I think that the way that the Warriors denied the Cavaliers the rim and then got it done on the other end with their reserves when Klay and Steph were not the featured players, I think that's fascinating. I think that when the game is dynamic, it's better than ever.
Well, let's probably put two things in perspective here. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, well, it's maybe three. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are probably not going to play that poorly again. And the bench is probably not going to play as well or as lopsided as to the Cleveland Cavalier bench.
Let me ask you something. Was there, you know, Livingston was something ridiculous, like 75-80% from the field, and he was taking, you know, 10 to 15 foot jumpers, and they were being well defended. I mean, the Warriors in game one shot 55% on contested shots and 44% on uncontested shots, which, you know, in a silly world, you'd say, well, maybe the Cavs shouldn't contest them.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You know, look, the bottom line is this. Guys are going to hit shots at different times and different moments, whether there's a hand in their face or whether it's an open shot. And I guess we're surprised when they miss those open looks, and we're somewhat surprised or shocked when they make those ones with hands in their face. And I saw several times where Kyrie was getting his hand in guys' faces, but – for some reason, they're just that into the moment, and it really didn't matter if there was a defender on him. And Livingston has a lot of mismatches. Let's be honest, man. He's tough in the post, a little bit bigger than most of those guys, obviously stronger than those guys. Look, you need to get more out of JR. You need to get more out of Love, obviously, although he played okay, to be honest with you. He and LeBron were about the only two guys that actually showed up. But ultimately, man, it's going to take a team effort. I think we all know this. Ty Lue got to do a better job of coaching. All in all, I just feel like they were unprepared for game one. Is that fair, do you think?
I think it's very fair. I think that they went so far out of their way to put the perception out there that they respect the stage, that they respect the process of the finals. And, you know, Kyrie Irving said, I'm looking at it very differently this year. And then they came out and, you know, they got outplayed by a little bit. You know, I think that shutting down Steph and Clay, you may say they played poorly. But I think that some of the things they did were winning formula. But I thought that they got outcoached. I thought that they were mismatched. I thought that Steve Kerr really showed that in year two, he's no fluke as a head coach. He's got a ton of talent there, but he's made it work, and he definitely outcoached Ty Lue in Lue's first head coaching appearance in the NBA Finals.
How much do you think being down 3-1 to Oklahoma City, getting that momentum back, and then going to the finals and realizing what you could accomplish, back-to-back titles, the 73-9 tag with that record-breaking season, it only gets completed if they win the title, Jeff, to be honest with you. And in my humble opinion, they have to win the title for us to look at them as one of, if not the greatest team in NBA history.
I think that series, I don't want to say it humbled them. I think that they're, as much as they do grandstand, I think that they've got quite a bit of humility to them. But I think it put them in focus to put that regular season behind them, because they got that scare. They were threatened. They were put on the ropes, and they survived, and they kept fighting, and they gained momentum. And then they did it in such an unconventional way in game one to beat the Eastern Conference champions, basically with your bench.
Yeah. Well, but here's the deal, too, is, you know, people like say, oh, you know, that'll never happen. And I wouldn't say it'll never happen again, but the chances of it being so dramatic and so overwhelming, yeah, I don't think that happens again. But let me say this. You do not win 73 games if your bench doesn't outplay starters on a regular, to be honest with you, because there are nights that the starters are going to get minutes off, first and foremost, and there's nights that those starters are just going to play terrible. So you're going to have to go to the bench. So when people don't give that bench enough credit, I think they're really shortchanging the Golden State Warriors, because a lot of those guys on the bench would be starters on other teams. So that's not your typical bench when you go down the rosters in the NBA. That's a fantastic bench, to be honest with you.
Well, that's been the praise on Golden State all year, is that they're not one-dimensional. They're not even two-dimensional. Klay Thompson has takes a lot of nights off, just as far as shooting and playing, you know, 94 feet of the floor. I mean, the difference between Steph Curry and Klay Thompson is grand. And then, you know, I mean, I think that after Klay Thompson, it kind of trickles down, and you have, like you said, starting caliber players, probably 6 through 10, if not 6 through 11, on that bench, and that they play well. And part of it is that they do play in Golden State. It's like, yeah, you take a guy like Danny Green, who was a end of the bench guy for the Cavaliers. He goes down to San Antonio. They work on his jump shot, and he's starting in the NBA Finals. So, you know, a lot of it's the players are made by the system, and I think that they could take that with them to other places. So I totally agree with you on their depth and the strength of their bench. And Cleveland's got to step it up. You know, they've got to win one of these next two, or it's going to be a very, very short series.
Like I said to you on that post, you know, 4 out of the next 6 is just daunting when you think about it.
4 out of 7 is daunting, though.
Yeah,
I agree. About a team that won 73 games.
But now it's even one less, you know what I'm saying? And they didn't lose 2 in a row all season. It's like, whoa, until obviously Oklahoma City did it to them and they go up 3-1. But then you think, like, that really can't happen. You know what my thought, I'm going to give you my final thought on LeBron James and his 2-4 record. Look, there's only one that I think that maybe slipped away from him, And that's 2011 when they lost to Dallas. I mean, that kind of was like out of the woodwork, out of the blue, whatever you want to call it. But most of the other ones, I feel like he had an uphill battle.
They got Buster Douglas by the Dallas Mavericks. I think that they were just – everybody was so sure that that series was over. They do their shadow boxing or whatever him and D-Wade did and that people didn't care for. And then the series just goes south for them. You know, that's one that I think knocked LeBron down good. And he got up, you know, he put his mouthpiece back in. He got up and he fought and he won the next two and very nearly won the next three.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say to the fact of that he hasn't won one without guys like Bosh and Wade? Do you knock on that at all or no? Real quick.
Well, he's had one opportunity since he left, so let's see.
Yeah, we'll see, I guess. And last year, I hate to say it, but I'm thinking Dave Blatt wasn't such a bad coach, man. I hate to say it. I think he got shafted there in Cleveland, to be quite honest. Anyways, got to take a quick pause for the cause. On the other side, John Polter, professor of sports, breaking down the NHL playoffs. As things got a little tighter, San Jose gets a little closer, now down 1-2 in that series. But keep it close. We'll be right back. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
Thornton looks down low in front. Pavelski scores. Tick, tack, goal.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich with me, as he is each and every week. And we're now going to hook up with our professor of sports, John Poulter. If you couldn't tell, that was a hockey highlight. And things have gotten a little bit more interesting there. Pittsburgh goes up 2-0 to start the series, winning both their games at home. And the Sharks wind up pulling it off in overtime. John, pretty impressive for them to fight back, down again early in the game, and they just showed kind of the grit that they have, the San Jose Sharks, making this thing a battle.
Yeah, they sure did. Good morning, Andy. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
It's been a fun series to watch. We all expected a fast-paced series. That we have certainly seen. We expected a close series. That we have certainly seen. We've seen two overtime games out of the first three games, and the third game that was not decided in overtime was decided in the last 2 or 3 minutes of regulation time. So it's been a very fun series to watch, and I think when we talked last week, we looked at a 6 or 7 game series, and I still think that's very realistic now. If Pittsburgh had have won Saturday night, that might have made it a little bit harder, because we all know that coming back from an 0-3 deficit is very tough. It's only been done 4 times in NHL history and only once in the Stanley Cup Final, and that was way back in 1942. So certainly not a position that San Jose wanted to get themselves in, but it's been a fun series to watch. And ironically, San Jose wins on Saturday night, gets back in the series, and because they lost 2 games and they won 1 game in overtime, they have yet to play in this series with a lead. So it'll be very interesting to see how Game 4 on Monday night comes out, and I'm really looking for San Jose to win that, square this thing up, and make it a best 2 out of 3 and send the series back to Pittsburgh for Game 5.
Hey, let me just follow up with this real quick, John. All the mention of Sid the Kid and how he cheats on face-offs. Couture comes out, says everyone cheats on face-offs. Can you put a stranglehold on this thing for us and explain what they're even talking about?
Well, it's all gamesmanship and headsmanship. Everybody cheats on a face-off because it's a split-second action. You've got about 2 feet from the linesman dropping the puck to the time it hits the ice. It all happens in a split second. I don't think you could talk to any hockey player who would tell you that at some point in time he hasn't cheated on a face-off, and quite frankly, I think it happens pretty much every time because nobody has their stick in the perfect spot as per the textbook. Nobody has their skates in the perfect spots as per the textbook. It's something that we've all done, be it house league hockey, recreational hockey, any kind of competitive hockey, or even at the top level of the NHL. And it's really no different than any other sport. Probably people trying to beat the rules as subtly as they can in any way, shape, or form. And my guess is that Couture was just really trying to get into Crosby's head and maybe into the official's head as well to watch Crosby, because Crosby took the most face-offs in the NHL this season. So clearly he's the Penguins' top face-off man. You get in his head, he's the best player, he's the best face-off man. Got to be playing mind games with him. That's the only way I can look at it, Andy.
Okay.
John, there were a lot of redrops, you know, not called encroachment, but just false starts where they redropped it in overtime. I thought that was a little irregular. Listen, you know, Jonas Donskoy goes around the net, puts it, you know, really threads the needle to go top shelf between two defenders, puts it over the glove of Fleury for the win. It kind of reminded me of when Kane beat the Flyers for that first Blackhawks Stanley Cup. Just those strange angles that exist in overtime when you're throwing everything on net. Why don't we see those shots in the 60 minutes of regulation?
Good question. I haven't really thought about it in any great detail, but my initial thought, Jeff, would be that overtime periods tend to be tighter because they're sudden death. It's not like extra innings in a baseball game. It's not like the extra 5 minutes in a basketball game where if you give something up, you have a chance to come back. It's sudden death or sudden victory, whichever way you want to look at it. So teams tend to play tighter hockey, but they also tend to take more shots because you never know when something is going to go in. So my guess would be that it's just basically they're victims of circumstance. It's just the way that it works out. You shoot enough pucks at the net, sooner or later a fluky one's going to go in, and you don't worry about the shot going back the other way. I just think it's the circumstances and the timing, and maybe everybody's playing with a little bit of nerves. Nobody wants to take a real chance, although I must admit that in the last few years, we've certainly seen overtime being played on a much more wide-open basis than it was 15 or 20 years ago. It was not unusual for 15 or 20 years ago to see four and five shots in a period. Now we're seeing four and five on one shift.
Hey, John, you know, while it's fresh on my mind, I actually did watch the Fox presentation of the Indians and the Royals on Saturday. And what a showcase game for Francisco Lindor. He hits two doubles, hits a home run that pretty much put the game away late, and then makes an assist of an assist on a ground ball up the middle off the bat of Kendrys Morales, flips it to Jose Ramirez. Just an incredible play and a real introduction to a national audience for Francisco Lindor.
Oh, I think I didn't see the game. I was out yesterday afternoon, but I did see the highlights, and that play by Lindor goes down as one of the best defensive plays I've ever seen. I thought that was a base hit the minute it left Morales' bat. But to even get to it and flip it to the third baseman and then have the third baseman make the throw over to first for the out, just absolutely spectacular. The play by Lindor might go down as one of the best I've ever seen.
Hey, let me ask you this, John, since we've transitioned here into baseball a little bit, and we're going to go down our hometowns here a little bit. The Milwaukee Brewers, man, I'll tell you what, not really even trying to win this year. However, with that being said, I know they're under 500, but only four games under 500, and they've had some impressive victories. They've beaten the Cubs. They've beaten the St. Louis, as far as their division goes. Are you kind of surprised that they're this good, to be honest with you?
I'm a little bit surprised that they're as good as they are and that they're as close to the rest of the division, given that the Cubs are so far out in front. The Cubs are sitting there 9.5 up after games on Saturday, which is the biggest lead in any division in Major League Baseball. I don't mean to rain on the Brewers' parade, but I think we all kind of thought they were going to be a fourth or a fifth-place team, maybe a fifth-place team because of the youth that was there. But the way that Cincinnati's been playing this year, that's almost made fourth place a shoe-in. So the Brewers are kind of in a funny position because the Cubs, the Pirates, and the Cardinals are all known to be good teams. I think everybody at the start of the year would have said Cubs, Pirates, Cardinals, 1-2-3, 3-2-1, 2-1-3, whichever way you want to look at it. And the Brewers and the Reds were kind of looking to stay out of the basement. But I think the Brewers have done a very good job in building that team around a couple of good players, and I'm thinking LaCroix and Braun primarily. They brought in a couple of nice spare parts that have started to play really well, and the youth is starting to play really well also, and I think Craig Counsell has to take a lot of credit for that. I've been a little hard on Counsell on a couple of decisions that I've seen him make when we've chatted in the past, but I'm starting to become more and more impressed that he might be the right guy to take this team back to where it wants to be.
Hey, John, what do you think of the Mariners this year? You know, they had the miracle comeback win against the Padres the other day earlier this week. You know, they trail Texas by a few games. They haven't been extremely hot lately, but it seems like they finally got it together and they're showing what they should have done last year this year. Do you kind of agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I do, Jeff. They've been somewhat of a streaky team. You look at where they are. They're two games behind Texas, and that's primarily just been the series that they're currently playing with Texas. If we'd have looked at this a week ago, we would have seen that Seattle was a better team than Texas. And what's been surprising to me is that, you know, Seattle has shown that they're the best team in the American League on the road at 19-10. Which is 9 games over .500. The only other team in Major League Baseball that's 9 games over .500 on the road is the Chicago Cubs, and we all know what the Cubs have been doing. Where the Mariners have been hurt, surprisingly, is at home. They're only 12-14 at home, and that's such a good pitcher's park. And you have to think with guys like Felix Hernandez and some of the other stars that the Mariners have in terms of pitching and the good defense that the team has, you think that they would be better than 2 games under .500 at home. They've been kind of streaky. If we'd looked at it a week ago, we probably would have seen that they were 8-2 out of their last 10. Now all of a sudden they're 4-6, and again, a lot of that is a reflection on the current series they're playing with the Texas Rangers. But I'm impressed with what they've done in Seattle with the new management regime there. They've added a couple of good players in role situations, and I'm thinking Adam Lynn primarily. I just think that's a team that's on its way, and with the Astros not coming out of the gate very well, that gave them a chance to make some hay while the sun was shining in that division. But I think they need to look out for the Astros, because the Astros are 8 out of their last 10, and they're starting to play good baseball right now. So it would never surprise me by the end of this month if we had the Astros, the Rangers, and the Mariners all tied within a game or so of each other at the top of that division.
Hey, John, great stuff as always. Hear the music behind us means we got to get the heck out of Dodge, but appreciate your time. Great stuff. By next week, maybe we'll have a Stanley Cup champion.
It would not surprise me, although I did predict 6 or 7 games, and if that's the case, we will probably be looking at waiting to see Game 7 by the time we chat next Sunday, but you never know. We may just have a Stanley Cup champion, but either way, it's going to be some good hockey.
Great stuff. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week. Have a great day, and we'll catch up next week, John.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Talk.
John Poulter, professor of sports at Isdorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody.
This time of year, flying pests seem to bother us more than normal. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about dealing with wasp nests and bee stings right after this.
Concerned about grout staining? Worry no more. New Fusion Pro Single Component Grout from Custom Building Products is a revolutionary new grout with unsurpassed stain resistance built into the formulation. It resists common household stains, and it never needs to be sealed like standard grout. And unlike other stain-resistant grouts on the market, such as epoxy or urethane, Fusion Pro is easy to work with and clean. So no matter if you're tiling yourself or hiring a professional, ask for Fusion Pro Grout for a beautiful, long-lasting tile installation.
The best time to destroy a wasp nest is at sunset, using a spray designed to shoot a stream of insecticide about 20 feet away. That way you can use them from a safe distance. Make sure you wear light colors and no scented lotion or perfume that could telegraph your arrival. They start diving at you. Don't swat at the insects. Be still or move away slowly. If you do get stung, remember this. Honeybees sting once, leaving their stinger behind. To remove it, you need to scrape sideways over the stinger to prevent getting more venom into the skin. Bumblebees, yellow jackets, wasps, and hornets have smooth stingers and can sting many, many times. Their venom also attracts others, so get away quickly and wash the sting with soap and water. Then you can treat the pain and itch with cortisone cream and ice. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
In that neighborhood, it was almost impossible to get what we could afford. So I had set up alerts on Zillow to say, if anything in this area ever comes below a certain price point, it just popped up one day. Wonderful the house is so cool.
Home means something different to everyone. With millions of homes for sale.
And I was like, oh my God, we have to go see it. It's a really wonderful neighborhood. And then to add on to that, how
bent on Zillow. Whatever home means to you, Zillow can help you find it.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
Curry, well, he looks spry. Curry got pump faked a three, drove the basketball, and got an easy bucket for Plumlee. Curry.
Got it. Rattles it home. Steph Curry.
What a game.
Barnes, a little turnaround on Lillard. No. That's Curry with the offensive rebound and a putback. Overtime. He has 35. Lillard passed it up. Green got a hand on it. A turnover. Up ahead. Curry. Curry left wide open. Right between the eyes. Steph Curry. High screen comes. Curry. Some ball handling, fires up a three, does it again!
All righty, everybody, welcome back. Everybody is watching Steph Curry, man. Some highlights from this year's playoffs, and I'll tell you what, guy's been fantastic, we know that. LeBron James and the Cavaliers know it as well. They got outplayed big time in game one, we all know that. Something you maybe don't know. LeBron James, 9-0 in game twos when he loses game one. Something has got to give, Jeff. Does he lose his first game two, or does he keep that unbelievable record intact?
Well, I think it's a streak because they got swept by the Spurs in the 2007 finals. So that must be since a certain time period, but, I don't think anything. I don't think there's any precedent for this. I don't think there's any precedent for this Golden State Warriors team. We saw the Cavaliers hang in there on Christmas Day, and then 3 weeks later, the Warriors come to Quicken Loans Arena and basically take David Blatt's job from him. You know, he coached one more game of victory against the Clippers like that Wednesday or Thursday, but that was a damning moment in the Cavaliers season, and that's how we end up with Lou in the finals instead of Blatt in the finals with finals head coaching experience.
You know, again, man, I said it earlier. I thought David Blatt did a fantastic job in his first year getting the Cavs to the finals with much less. Let's be honest, man. No Kyrie, no Kevin Love. They made it a competitive series. If Tyronn Lue doesn't do the same, at least, let's be honest, if they don't win at least two games and he has his full squad, who takes the heat? Is it LeBron for putting this together and handpicking this team, getting Kevin Love instead of having Andrew Wiggins, who, by the way, is a heck of a defender, would have been an unbelievable guy to be running the floor with LeBron James? Do you think maybe he's kind of like kicking himself to a certain degree about some of the things that he's pushed for and gotten to gotten through in his own way?
Not at all. I think that Kevin Love has been a good fit. I think that it's, you know, that this big three has proven itself, and you know, Kyrie Irving's still growing into himself as a player. There's, you know, he's not D Wade. And Love was never supposed to be Bosh. He's that long four, but he doesn't have the athleticism that Bosh had. LeBron had to know that there was something of a downgrade going from what he was working with in Miami to coming back to Cleveland in 2014. And I think that the third best player in year one a year ago couldn't have been a 19-year-old player with question marks all over his offensive game.
Yeah, but if you have LeBron James with you, it just makes things so much easier. And you had to know, or we all had to kind of have some foresight and say, look, Andrew Wiggins is going to be a heck of a basketball player. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to take it in a different direction. I think maybe, just maybe, LeBron didn't want him there because that kid might be able to outshine him. Have you ever thought about that?
No, I don't. I think that LeBron's comfortable enough in his own skin that he's not. He's got some insecurities, and he had some narcissism issues earlier in life, but not the 29, 30, 31-year-old LeBron James. I don't think that there's any resentment or envy or jealousy issues at all. I think that he wants to win. He wants to win for Cleveland in a bad way. I think he wants to make, you know, not that he feels what he did was wrong. I think he feels the approach to leaving Cleveland was wrong. But I think that he's comfortable with the fact that he went to Miami. I think that he's comfortable that he came back to Cleveland. He desperately wants to win, but I don't think that he would sabotage his own team for the sake of his own legacy.
I don't know, man. I think that what is his legacy? That's a great question. Well, what is LeBron James' legacy at this point? What do you think?
I think he's a great player. I think that he's in the conversation. I don't know. I think it's difficult to compare eras. I think it's difficult to compare players that didn't play the same position. And I think that you end up with a player that is great, was great, it was the greatest of his own time, might be on the back nine of his career, but we'll see. We don't know anything yet.
I think LeBron James' legacy personally is this, okay? He's a guy that makes his teammates better. We all know that, obviously. So I'm not saying anything that's surprising there. But I also think part of his legacy is that he is a guy that got to six NBA finals straight and won, two of those or whatever, and obviously it could be a third one. But he's a guy that got to that highest level so many different times. And there's something that is very special and very unique about the ability to get to that pinnacle of your profession year in and year out, man. I really think that people underestimate how difficult it is. Even if you have great talent around you, it is so difficult to make that happen. And so many things have to go right. So his accomplishment of six straight NBA finals, it is unbelievable. And I suppose you could maybe – there's only one guy that I can think of to compare to him. And I know we have Russell and whatnot. I know that. But that's before my time. So Jordan winning three in a row and then taking a break and coming back to win another three in a row is almost like he did six in a row in a strange way. Yes or no?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, with that said, we have our guest on the line. He's David Zavak, managing editor from FearTheSword.com. And David, feel free to jump in on this. I guess, I think that what we're approaching is, what does LeBron James need to do to secure his legacy? I mean, does he need to put the exclamation point on it with a championship in Cleveland? And good morning, by the way.
Hey, yeah, good morning. How are you guys? I mean, it just depends what kind of legacy we're talking about. If he wants to be in that conversation with Jordan and maybe Magic Johnson, I think he absolutely needs at least one more. I think if he wants to be on the level with Jordan, he's obviously not going to get to six, but I think four titles would do it. I think people want to talk about the weakness of the East as a big part of why he's been able to make it to the finals so many times in a row, and that's true, but you also have to take into account the fact that the East is weak in part because of LeBron James. There have been many teams over the years, the Pacers, the Bulls, that it seemed like, were on the verge of challenging them, and they have not been able to sustain it. And I think, James's presence sort of hangs over everything in the East.
That is the voice of David Zavak, managing editor of FearTheSword.com, joining us here. By the way, my first opportunity to talk to you, David. I appreciate you taking time out with us. We've also talked about this along with it. David Blatt, kind of, in my humble opinion, got screwed there in Cleveland, okay? Bottom line, he took a much lesser team to the finals, won a couple of games against the Golden State Warriors. So if Tyronn Lue doesn't do that with this team, at least getting two victories, do you think they made the right decision? And how much control did LeBron James have in that decision?
I think it was not a fair – I agree with you in terms of it was not a fair decision. I don't think anybody's going to sit here and say that David Blatt got a fair shake at it or anything like that. It's funny the way it works because, David Blatt tries to call a timeout against the Bulls last year in the playoffs. They don't call it. If they do call it, it's going to end up being a technical foul because the Cavs are out. The Cavs are going to lose that game and go down 3-1 in that series and probably lose. And then David Blatt probably loses his job a year ago. That didn't happen, obviously, and the Cavs did have a crazy impressive run, and I thought David Blatt did a great job. I don't know. If the Cavs end up getting swept here or lose in five, I think there will be lots of questions for Ty Lue. I think there are already questions after game one. That being said, you know, you go back to that, how much of this was a LeBron James decision. I don't think LeBron loved David Blatt. I don't think any Cavs really loved David Blatt very much. And, you know, I think it might drive some people crazy, but the NBA is definitely a player's league. And, you know, coaching in the NBA is as much, if not more, about how you get along with your players and how you relate to your players as it is simple X's and O's.
Yeah, David, the Cavaliers limit Steph Curry and Klay Thompson in game one, still get beat by a lopsided margin, somewhat by the Warriors' bench. Is that maybe not the game plan to take them all the way out, maybe to let them get theirs and then, you know, just try to work with it, you know, don't let them get 40 or anything. But, you know, if they're each going to hit a couple triples, don't take that all the way away from them and let Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala beat you at the rim with uncontested shots.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what they're trying to do. I think they need to be very careful because I think, you know, you can do everything you can to take away Steph and Clay, and they're still likely to go off and score. So they might, you know, from what it sounds like, they're going to do the same thing. I wrote in January that I thought they should do the exact opposite. I would rather try and take away Draymond Green and basically, you know, basically say to Steph, look, you know, score 40 points, score 45 points. And try and take everything else away. Ty Lue went the exact opposite direction and said, okay, Sean Livingston, okay, Draymond Green, okay, Andre Iguodala, you guys got to beat us. Well, they went out and did that. So I think it'll be interesting. I don't think there's any way, you know, even if the Cavs play the same way that they did the other night, I don't think Sean Livingston's, you know, going to be able to pull that off again. That being said, you know, I just think – you know, I think on some level, you know, the Cavs dodged a bullet because Steph and Clay didn't play very well. On the other hand, you know, they really weren't able to take advantage of it because, you know, Livingston and Iguodala and Barbosa sort of did things that you wouldn't expect them to do. So it's kind of frustrating because when you play a team as good as Golden State, you don't have a large margin for error. They might have had an opportunity the other night and they just couldn't do anything with it.
David Zavak, managing editor from FearTheSword.com. My final question for you, down 3-1-3 against Oklahoma City, seems to me like it really woke up the Golden State Warriors, and they brought that with them to game one. We'll see about game two, but how much did that affect how serious they took the finals?
I mean, they're just so good. And they play, you know, they shoot so many three-pointers. You know, the word that everybody uses in the NBA today is variance. So they're going to go through games where they don't shoot very well, but then they're going to put together strings of games where they really do. So, you know, the one thing that Oklahoma City could do was they just had so much length and athleticism. The Cavs don't really have that. And so, you know, if the Cavs are going to hang around, they basically, I didn't really think the defense was that bad the other night, but the Cavs shot under 40% from the field. They didn't score 100 points. They didn't come close to 100 points. They got to score. And the Warriors a year ago had the best defense in the NBA. They weren't quite as good this year, but I think that gets back to your question, which was, you know, how focused were they? And they certainly are now, so... they're really good. The Cavs came into the series as underdogs, and they obviously remain there now.
Hey, David, really appreciate you taking time out with us. We'll have to do it next week again, and we'll get you on from the start of the segment next week as well, buddy.
Yeah, apologies. We'll talk soon.
No problem. David Zavak, managing editor from FearTheSword.com, joining us. Good stuff. We'll catch up with him next week. Keep it close. One final segment in this hour. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Thank you. Attention, if you're in the market for a power scooter to reclaim your freedom, we have great news. Hartway, one of the world's leading manufacturers, has new factory direct power scooters for as little as $39 a month. Now you can stay active and have the freedom that a power scooter can give you. For over 20 years, we've been building the best and most reliable power scooters in the marketplace. And now with our new direct-to-consumer division, we can offer you wholesale prices. Plus, with Hartway Care Service, you are always protected. You will not find a better power scooter for as little as $39 a month anywhere. And with free shipping, if you call today, you can have a new power scooter delivered to your door for free in days. Financing is easy with your credit card or PayPal credit. Call now. 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183. That's 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices. Prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
I think boxing is dangerous. Any man being hit in the head, the brain's a delicate thing. I think it should be well protected. If a fella's not qualified, he shouldn't be allowed to fight. But football is proven to have more deaths. Baseball, ice hockey, horse racing, is car racing is much more dangerous. But I would advise nobody to box if they get hit too much and it's too dangerous.
Wow, man, oh, man. Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time. Passing away, actually, right here in Phoenix, Arizona, to be honest with you. Right down the road from us, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Steele Memorial Hospital. I mean, they kept that under wraps, you know, while he was on life support and everything else. You know, there's two conversations to be had about Muhammad Ali. What he was as a fighter, the great athlete that he was, and then what he did outside the ring, which seems to be the thing that's recognized in the moment of his passing.
Yeah, I mean, look, he stood for something he believed in, and he fought for it. And to be honest with you, man, I admire that. I'll be honest with you. I really do. Very special, very important human being in our lifetime.
Let me acknowledge the wet blankets, and maybe we can get into this an hour or two, because I think that you and I are very much on the same page with how to look back at the life of Cassius Clay / Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, man. I appreciate greatness in all shapes, forms, and sizes, and not only with what you do necessarily in your arena, but if you have something that you believe in and you're strong about it, more power to you, man, in all honesty. But that's going to do it for hour number one. Hour number two on the horizon. Keep it close. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.